Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The Killer Bees!
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, Brendan behind the glass. It is a Tuesday edition of The Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. And a friend of the show, another Killer Bee, Tom Brady, announcing his retirement today after 22 years in the NFL, lost to the Texans twice, is done in the National Football.
I saw you tweeted that. That was like
that was not a creative
thought. That was like the random headline of a New York paper. That
I was looking copying
for,
it.
Yeah, it was looking for attention.
To be fair, I quote tweeted the headline of the New York, which said breaking Tom Brady, who lost 2 Super Bowls to the Giants during his legendary 22-year NFL career, retires. And then I quote tweeted that and said breaking Tom Brady, who lost 2 regular season games to the Texans during his legendary 22-year NFL career, retires. What are the immediate takeaways you have of Tom Brady announcing his retirement on the gram this morning?
Adam Schefter was right.
They were both right.
I mean, yeah, I told you this was going to happen. Like, the fact that...
Did you?
Yeah, I said... we were talking about this the other day.
You maybe, said he was maybe, still deciding.
Maybe you and I... No, I said, but here's the thing. If he does ultimately say he's going to retire, their ESPN is going to come to you because they were running the crawl, too. And they're going to come to you and say, see, we knew it all along.
Oh, you called that side of it.
Yeah, when they didn't. I mean, the fact of the matter is because of the way social media and everybody wants the clicks, that you knew that this was a touchy subject with him. Like, he's controlled everything. He's a control freak. And so, you know, he does the podcast with Jim Gray, and then he has his Instagram, and he likes to have all the little quirky videos and stuff that they do and tries to be funny. You had to believe that if he was truly, he wanted to be the one to truly get all the attention for the announcement. So he put it on Instagram. But at the same time, it's like when Michael walked away or when LeBron finally walks away, the day is going to be like this. They're going to see all the highlight videos and all the hype and everything like that. The bigger thing to me is what we talked about with Ted Johnson yesterday. I really think he plays another year if he knows Tampa is geared up to compete for another Super Bowl. Like, they're in cap hell this year. Like, if they could have done what they did last season, off season, and brought back all the starters, and you know that you're going to have Godwin back, and you know that Mike Evans is going to be healthy, and you're going to replace Antonio Brown, and you've got the regular cast of characters, I think he'd make another run at it. But, you know, I had said it, thankfully, before we interviewed Ted Johnson, and then he said he doesn't want to be a guy that bounces around team to team. He doesn't want to be a Kevin Durant chasing championships, especially at this point in his career, moving his family, doing these things. My bigger intrigue is, what's he going to do next?
Let's go to what Ted Johnson said that you brought up, that's something that resonated with you, the conversation that we had. We had former Tom Brady teammate, 10-year NFL vet, 3-time Super Bowl champion, Teddy Johnson, on yesterday. And he said that Brady can't win like he wants to if he stayed another year in Tampa.
I think it's over. I think it's done, and I think you have to look at the current situation there, the roster in Tampa Bay and the head coach. I think those two, shockingly, it kind of happened really fast because a year ago when Tom was there, him and Bruce Arians were thick as thieves, and it seemed like it was all roses. And then this year, a lot of things changed, and so I think Tom looks at the situation there in Tampa Bay and is like, "Oof, I can't win here like I want to," and so. And he's still under contract, and he's really, what's he going to do? Going to go to another team and try and rebuild another organization? So, guys, I think he did what he set out to do.
See, I disagree with Teddy. I disagree with you that their roster wouldn't be good next season. A lot of those guys that you mentioned are under contract. Now, you have to get creative in terms of, like, how you're going to improve the team, how you're going to keep some guys that are currently under contract and not have to cut them to get back under the cap. But I still feel like that team would have the roster to be a contender in the NFC. Maybe not as good as it was this year. Certainly not as good as it was last year when they made the run to the Super Bowl. But there's still enough talent there for me where they would be a contender in the NFC.
Well, I mean, look, it depends on who's in the NFC too, right? I think that when you look at it, they could be good. You know, as long as you've got, if you still had Brady and you have Mike Evans, and assuming Godwin comes back, but, you know, he's free, but he's coming off knee surgery, so you don't know who's going to be willing to give him any money.
At what point, right?
Yeah. They're saying Jason Pierre-Paul's going to leave, but you don't know, as long as you've got David and White and some of the linebackers and a young secondary, that they're and Sue, you know, their defense is going to be pretty good. I don't know if they're going to be Super Bowl caliber great. Fournette might skip and find somewhere else to play. But you can replace some of those guys. But you're going to have to restructure a lot of contracts. And it's a similar situation to what Brady has done in the past with New England when he wanted to win. But I think that, you know, when you're 44 and you're looking at it, it's different than if you're still in your 30s and you still got plenty left in the tank and you don't have to worry as much about family and other things. And I think a bigger thing, too, is that a lot of guys are now being more and more focused on, he's walking away healthy mentally and physically, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't have any, like, CTE issues, or he was never really crushed, you know, and really knocked around with concussions like Aikman really quit early because of concussions.
Because he was yelling at referees left and right.
Well, that's true. That's true, too. But, you know, he's walking away even with this late stage in his career without the major knee injuries or a torn ACL or an Achilles or something that's going to hinder him the rest of his life. He's got all the money in the world. And at a certain point, he can focus on his wife, his kids, and what he wants to do next. He's got so many other businesses. His TB12 business is still going to be rolling. So, you know what? At a certain point, you go, you know what? I've done all I can do. Unequivocally across football, they call him the greatest of all time, whether it's the accolades, the awards, the statistics. So what do you still got to play for?
Yeah, he's got the greatest football resume ever. I mean, he's got more Super Bowl championships than any single franchise in the entire NFL, which to me is the best stat in any sport that there is. What happens to Tampa Bay is going to be interesting. Like, the fact that Brady's not there, does that lead to a max exodus in these free agents that they have? Or are they going to completely rebuild that roster? You know, how long does Arians do it? Does Arians even come back? There were some thoughts that he might be looking to get out of it as well. And if you're along those lines, I mean, if you're Tampa Bay and Arians is a year or two away from retirement, you know, at what point do you just turn it over to Byron Leftwich?
Well, I agree with that. But you know what? The other thing that was interesting that Teddy Johnson was talking about was, I don't know if I'm able to call him Teddy because you know him well enough to call him
Teddy.
You
can call him Teddy by osmosis.
He mentioned the fact that it wasn't rosy between him and Arians. Like, the first year it was, but he kind of implied that
even
it wasn't.
Even the first year, though, you remember, like, Arians would take some shots in the media to Brady.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, I don't know if that was, like a sign that they didn't get along, or maybe Brady was cool. They were like, hey, you know, use me through the media to get your message to the rest of the team. Because I think good players do that. Like Tim Duncan, he was oftentimes the whooping boy of Popovich because he knew that Duncan could handle it. If you're yelling like that and talking like that to your best player, that's a message to the rest of the team.
But also, I've said this, Jeff Van Gundy was a guy that liked to use the media as a pawn, right? But when you go from a guy named Bill Belichick that is going to do anything but tell the media anything, and then you get kind of a loose lips Bruce Arians that likes to spray bullets, I'm sure it's a bit of a culture shock for Tom Brady.
If they didn't already have like a conversation about that single thing, yeah, I think that would rub Tom Brady the wrong way. Like, I found that to be pretty awkward, honestly, whenever he was doing that stuff last year. I also wonder, and look, I said this yesterday, like the moment that Tom Brady started saying, I'm going to take it day by day, as opposed to signing a 2-year contract in the offseason, I felt like he was trending towards retirement. Like, the news that came out over the weekend was the clincher. Like, we all knew it was going to happen. It was just a matter of what time. And Tom Brady's the pushback over the weekend that he's still deciding. It's still day to day. He went on Jim Gray yesterday. He's like, oh yeah, it's still day to day. And then retires the next morning. He wasn't day to day. Tom Brady was lying through his teeth, but that's fine. Whatever. Like, you can have your moment in the sun. You can retire whenever you want. That's fine. I wonder, too, like the Antonio Brown situation, the way that played out. Because, look, I'm not giving Antonio Brown the benefit of the doubt. He has lost any opportunity of the benefit of the doubt. But I didn't think Bruce Arians was an angel the way that he handled that either. Bruce Arians also had the incident where he came on and elbowed his player that was on the field. And not that I thought that was, like, too egregious. A lot of people did. He ended up getting fined for that. Like, I wonder if that at all played into the mind of Brady where he's like, maybe I don't want to do this for another season.
Well, I think you take them as separate incidents, right? I think that Bruce Arians, if he's coaching anybody other than Tom Brady, and does some of the things that he did, he would have faced a lot more scrutiny, right? Because You're not talking about a team that's chasing a Super Bowl that is all about Tom Brady and the minions and everybody around him trying to win another one. And if you had a guy, like just say Jameis was still there in the middle of another 30 for 30.
Right.
And he decides to smack a player on the back of the helmet. And, oh, by the way, then he has a receiver that he told to get the hell out of here. I think that the ownership and the general manager would be scrutinizing the hell out of their head coach going, do I have the right guy for the gig? But as long as Tom was okay with them and we had a chance to win a Super Bowl, we were going to keep rolling this thing through.
See, I had a thought last week that the Buccaneers should move on from Bruce Arians right after the season was over. Not because of like him elbowing the dude. Like, to me, it was more of things adding up on top of it. But also, the biggest reason for me is because Byron Leftwich seems like he's going to leave. And I would try to make sure I lock up Byron Leftwich long term. But I also feel like if they make that move last week where they move on from Arians and it's Leftwich, not to say that it would have been the difference of Tom Brady coming back another year, but I feel like there was a small chance more that he would come back with Leftwich as opposed to Arians.
Brady's relationship with Leftwich is really, really solid. And I think you go all the way back to when they first made it official. He was joining the Buccaneers. And he was like, he went to the wrong house. He was trying to get to Leftwich's house so he could get the playbook, and they were starting to talk about, you watch their body language and their interactions on the field. You can tell there is a genuine chemistry and a likability between the two, that they like each other. And I think that would have maybe factored in, as opposed to kind of the old school crotchety Bruce Arians, who just fires off whatever he feels like saying. So it maybe have factored a little bit. I think what factors more is Brady's ability to be able to go out and say, I'm going to go get Leonard Fournette, Rob Gronkowski, you know, whoever I want. And the other thing, like you mentioned, that I think that probably had a factor on him was he doesn't take many bullets from anybody, right? He doesn't get, because he's very calculated in everything he does. And I was watching something this morning and reading something where they were talking about just like every interview, anytime anybody talks to him, he's constant. The guy from TriStar that does the autographs.
Yeah.
They had an exclusive with him. And he went on a long diatribe on Facebook about his relationship with Tom. But he said from the time they met, he thinks about everything he says before he says it. He doesn't want any scrutiny. He doesn't want anything. The AB thing, I think, got to him because he knew that he let his guard down. He opened up his house to him. He opened up his arms to him. He tried to do everything to make him a part of the team. And then AB left by firing shots at him and poking fun, you know, and being very, very critical of him as well as everybody else. I don't think he liked that.
Yeah, I don't think so either, because Brown, I can't remember exactly what he said, but it was something along the lines of, like, you know, he wants me and now he's not having my back. Something along those lines with Antonio Brown. You brought up the question that I want to talk about on the other side. What is next for Tom Brady? Also, whenever he had his long retirement on Instagram today, zero mention of New England. What do we make of that? Also, when we return, do you think the disadvantage of being in the AFC is a long-term thing, or does it sort itself out quickly? That's next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, let's talk about Apollo Men's Health. Look, you know what? These are the dog days of a new year. You made some resolutions. You wanted to work out. Maybe it's not working out so well for you, and you don't have the energy and the drive that you once had. And from the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom, you're failing more than you're hitting home runs and feeling good about yourself, and you don't think there's anything you can do about it. There is. Go see the people at Apollo Men's Health. They can help you. They're experts. They were at those other places. They know what works, what doesn't, and now they're focused on just making sure everybody gets results and feels better than they've ever felt before, and that they can point the finger at Apollo Men's Health and say thank you. That's what they're all about. Go to ApolloMH.com right now, and you can see all the different ways they can help you, from hormone therapy to recovering quicker with HGH peptide therapy to a full body composition analysis that can chart your results on a weekly basis to see how you're doing and improving with all your levels, body fat, cholesterol, etc. They take the time to make sure that you are taken care of. Your health is your wealth, and you got to invest in yourself just like you do in the stock market. And they're the people to get it done the right way. ApolloMH.com. When you book that first appointment, you'll find out most major insurance has accepted discounts for military personnel, first responders. But mention my name, Joel Blank, get a free B12 shot. Then set up the appointment and be honest with them when they ask you the tough questions. They'll set up a plan that works and get you results. They're the good people doing great things on a daily basis. Go see the people at Apollo Men's Health.
This is ESPN 97.5. Razor Shark commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Tom Brady has retired, 22 years in the NFL, seven-time Super Bowl champion. and lost twice to the Houston Texans in the regular season. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. A texter saying, in what shots did AB fire at Brady? Dude, three question marks, LOLOL. Whenever he went off the field, he went at Guerrero. What's his first name? Antonio Brown or Tom Brady's trainer, Alex Guerrero. He was charging him for work that he did with Antonio Brown. He posted this on Christmas Eve, the conversation he had with Alex Guerrero, and then was talking about how Alex Guerrero was charging him $100,000, even though he never did any work on him. And then he actually directly called out Brady in a tweet saying, imagine your QB trainer charging you $100K, then doing no work. Must be was a part of those guys planning all along. So he took some shots at Tom Brady. Apparently he did call and has talked on the phone with Tom Brady since then. And apparently the two are fine now, but he did take some shots originally at Tom Brady. So Brady today, whenever he announced his retirement on social media, a day after lying to his good friend Jim Gray, saying he's taking it day by day, and having his dad push back at the national media for saying he was retiring over the weekend.
Can I interject, please?
Always.
Also, one other thing to get you even more detail on the fact that we were right. Brown also came out and said after that, Brady can't do bleep by himself.
That's right. I knew there was another one.
He said it on that Full Send podcast. But you guys are going to make it seem like he's just this heroic guy. Bro, we're all humans, bro. We're all dependent on someone else to do the job. And he went on further than that. So, yes, he has taken shots at Brady, texter, and we can move on.
What do you think of the fact that Brady had zero mention to New England in his long write-up and his retirement on social media?
I think that it means something because of what Ted Johnson said yesterday when he thought that that half-hour conversation they had after the Bucs beat the Patriots this year might have finally buried a hatchet that was out there dangling in the wind for a long time, that he obviously indicated Brady's not the only one, that you know Belichick made the players feel like this was all about his system and the players were just a secondary piece of that that executed the plan, that maybe the hatchet hasn't been buried. Maybe, just maybe, although he does make reference to, without saying team names, his players, coaches, whatever, he can always say, well, I spoke in general. I meant both teams over my entire career. But I think that those in the know would probably tell you that there was a little bit behind that to, as if to say, it's not completely done yet.
Maybe not. I didn't read that much into it, to be honest with you. Like, whenever he left New England and left Tampa Bay, he gave a long speech to New England saying, you know, he appreciated the time. We've accomplished a lot. Time for a new chapter. So he already said his goodbyes to New England. Why does he need to say his goodbyes again? He brought them six Super Bowl championships. The fact that he doesn't mention you in the retirement after he's been gone away from the team for 2 years, is that significant? Is that going to take away from the memories that you have of Tom Brady? I feel like a lot of people are making this out to be a huge deal when it's really not.
Well, I think here's the other thing, Jeremy. It goes again to when I asked Ted about, you know, why can't everybody just take full credit for the fact that they won what they did? And he was like, no, because of who Belichick is, it's important to Tom and maybe others that they get credit too, that, you know, that it was about them too. And maybe this is his way of, again, I'm not giving Belichick too much credit.
Maybe
here.
So.
So maybe, you know, it's his platform. It's his announcement, doing it his way. And maybe in his mind, I don't need to give Belichick anything more.
What do you think is next for TB12?
So here's the thing, and it's like Peyton Manning, right? As opposed to Tony Romo, who never really got to the mountaintop and over it and had a Hall of Fame, like, legendary career, you know, wasn't basically competitive with many others. You were at that high of your game. Tony Romo chose to do TV. He does a great job of it. He's making a boatload of money on it, but, you know, it's a different schedule. When you have all the money, you've done all the things, you're Tom Brady or you're even Peyton Manning before Tom Brady, you get to pick and choose as you wish. Do you want to get into ownership? Do you want to get into broadcasting? Do you want to get into football but have that grind all over again? Do you just want to fade into the sunset, play golf, and maybe look at other things? Look at Kobe Bryant. When Kobe Bryant walked away, it was about production on TV and movies. It was about doing other things, building a brand or brands, and kind of expanding his overall empire. Tom Brady might feel the same way because he doesn't have to do anything. But if he wants to, one day a week, he could get into broadcasting, and there's not a network in this country that wouldn't, like, knock people over and fight to get him on there. Because if you think, if CBS has got Romo, the one thing that can trump Romo is the name Tom Brady, whether he's good or not.
Yeah.
ESPN went after Manning for the same reasons.
They would all want him. I don't think he'd be very good at it. I think he'd be more Joe Montana than Tony Romo.
But it's also, like I said, he's calculated about everything. He's not going to be critical of other players.
Yeah, he's not easygoing. He's not excitable. You know, like Tony Romo's kind of silly. Like, he's pretty excited. He gets really pumped up for these games, whereas Tom Brady's a little chill, like relaxed. I don't feel like he'd be very good at that. Also don't feel like he's going to want to do that. Obviously, he's going to do something going forward. Like, the reason he started the TB12 brand pretty late in his career, by the way, was because he wanted to do that going forward and to capitalize on that going forward. So I think he's going to work on the brand, whatever that, you know, entails. I have a feeling he's going to get into, like, acting. I feel like the dude's going to act a little bit. He was already in that one with the Mark Wahlberg movie Ted, remember?
Yeah.
He had like the golden rod
or
whatever.
But Mark Wahlberg is a longtime Boston honk.
For some reason, I feel like he's going to act. I feel like he's going to be an actor going forward. I don't feel like he's going to coach. I don't think he's going to be a GM. I don't, maybe ownership, because you don't really have to work that hard if you're an owner, but he'd be a part of a group, because I don't think he doesn't have billions of dollars. I don't really see him in a life of football, to be honest.
I think that, you know, he's got the crypto ads. I think he will still be
commercial.
The Peyton Manning, of this generation in terms of endorsement deals. I think that, you know what, he has, if he wants to do it, I could see him on Saturday Night Live.
I hope so. I don't think he'd be as funny as Peyton Manning.
No, Manning was awesome.
Manning's good.
I still say one of the all-time greatest skits was the pickup football on
no
the playground.
No doubt about it.
And he's drilling kids in the back of the dome piece and sending them to the outhouse. And that is just a great, and cussing at him, that's a great skit. And Manning has that kind of dry personality that not people were aware of. Now they are, of course, with the Manning cast and everything. I don't think Tom is that guy either. And I think Tom always is on alert about his image, whereas Peyton kind of relaxed a little bit once he got done playing.
Like, Brady's got the zingers, but that only goes so far. 713-780-ESPN. What's next for Tom Brady? 713-780-3776. Now, the AFC, it looks like it's going to be a lot stronger than the NFC. It's kind of flipped on its head over the course of just one single season. Do you think that the disadvantage of being in the AFC, this is from a Texans perspective, is a long-term thing, or does this stuff sort itself out quickly?
No, I think it's a long-term thing. When you look at it, you look at who's not going anywhere, right? So you already know that Mahomes is going to be a Chief. He's got that massive $500 million deal.
Yep.
Okay? It doesn't look like Herbert's going to go anywhere in San Diego. Burrow just got to Cincinnati. They love him to death, and he's going to cash in and probably stay there for the duration. When you look at a guy who loves Buffalo the way Allen loves Buffalo, I don't think he's going anywhere either. So I think just right there in a nutshell, you say, well, as long as you got those guys and you can put decent teams around them, not even great teams around them, and then you throw in a guy that we didn't even mention, a former MVP like Lamar Jackson, who can do what he did with Baltimore, and he continues to, you know, be on the rise. There's six quarterbacks right there that says, well, you got your six in the AFC. What six in the NFC can I put up to actually combat that? I might get four.
Yeah, I mean, Dak, Rodgers are the first two that come to mind if Rodgers stays in Green Bay.
And I think this is leading Aaron to stay when he picks a team.
If he wants the path of least resistance, it should.
Well, and you know that the one thing that, whether he admits it publicly ever or not, that chaps his rear end, that he knows he's conscious of, is only having one.
Mm-hmm.
So, you want, like you said, you want that path of easiest resistance to at least get there to compete for at least one more, and I don't think that's the AFC.
Whenever I look at the AFC, and you brought up pretty much my whole opinion of it as well, like, yeah, you need a good team around a good quarterback to take you to that next level, but if you have a top-tier quarterback, you're at least going to be in the conversation of the playoffs, right? Like, even if you have a terrible roster around you, a great quarterback is going to find a way to get that team in playoff contention. You might miss it a couple of years. Like, Deshaun Watson had a terrible team around him last year. They won four games. We know the rest of the story. But if you look at the AFC, you mentioned most of these. Pat Mahomes, like, they're not going anywhere. They're a perennial playoff team. Joe Burrow, it looks like they're not going anywhere. A perennial playoff team. Justin Herbert didn't make the playoffs this season, but they seem like they're a year away, and they're always going to be in the conversation. Josh Allen, the Buffalo Bills are the cream of the AFC East. Mac Jones had a very good rookie season. Is he going to take that next step forward? Lamar Jackson, what do you think about Trevor Lawrence? Tua, as well. Baker Mayfield, I hesitate to say Baker Mayfield. But you just run down the top tier of quarterbacks. There's already 6 there. You have some young quarterbacks, too, that if they take that next level, there's 7 or 8 really good quarterbacks in the AFC. Like, the Texans are looking like they're in a conference, at least, in the AFC, where they're playing catch-up. I mean, we already knew that because
Carr,
of their roster,
Jeremy.
But also with the quarterback position.
Look at Carr.
Yeah, we didn't even mention Carr.
We didn't even mention him early in the season. Everybody was talking him as a sleeper MVP candidate.
You're not going to put him in that conversation, but he made the playoffs.
And if the Raiders don't go through all the crap that they went through off the field, maybe he does have an even better season. And he had Waller, and he had weapons, and he did a lot of good things with
the
guys.
Will
McDaniels
help him?
And
does he take a step forward?
And it's possible, right? Because Gruden, as good as he used to be, he was old school compared to where we are offensively right now. You get a guy now that's got his finger on the pulse of what's going on offensively, there's a chance he could take another step up. But in that division, you look at all the quarterbacks just in that division alone, all in the AFC, and go, bro, if you want to get to a Super Bowl, it might not be the AFC for you.
It's scary. And go back to the question, do you think that the disadvantage of being in the AFC is a long-term thing? To me, it's a hard yes. What do you think, Houston? 713-780-ESPN.
Rattle them off in the NFC.
Dak, Rodgers are the two that stand out to me. And you have the young quarterbacks who I don't think are there yet with, like, Fields.
Well, Stafford.
Stafford, of course, with the Rams. Jimmy G's gone. I mean, you have hope, I guess, with Trey Lance and Justin Fields.
Right.
Those would be, like, the up-and-comers. Daniel Jones, like, what is he going to look like with Brian Daboll? I am curious to see
what he looks like
with Daboll.
I think I'm not ready to – a lot of people are ready to just
– I wouldn't say I like him.
I'm intrigued by him. I like him enough. I like him better than Davis Mills.
What does like mean, though? Like, I like him more than Davis Mills, too. I think he still has a chance, but he could easily go the Mitch Trubisky route.
He could, but here's the damaged good philosophy that we've seen a lot that I don't think gets enough, especially with Daniel Jones. When you have a rotating door in terms of offensive coordinators or head coaches or both, and the Sam Darnold is the easiest one to point to, but there's been others as well, that you look at it and go, is it really a fair shot to analyze a guy until he can settle in and get one system, one guy that he can work with consistently? He's shown he can run. He's shown he can throw. He's shown he's got some poise in the pocket. But you know what? He was supposed to have Saquon Barkley, and he didn't. He had all the coaches and coordinators. And if I think that before I'll close the door on him and say he can't be the guy, I'd like to see him have a couple of years with the same system, with the same weapons, you know, and the same coaching staff.
Well, the balance of power, you know what it needs to even it up a little bit? They need to keep Russell Wilson in the NFC, and the NFC needs to trade for Deshaun Watson. That would make it as even as it could possibly
be. Do the Buccaneers want him?
Who? Want who?
Watson.
I'm sure the Buccaneers would love to have Deshaun Watson.
I think that's one of the first things that came to my mind.
It doesn't make sense to me, though.
When Brady decided to fold it up, it's like, well, there's one more team that needs a quarterback. Maybe that's one more team that'll get in on something with Deshaun Watson.
And if you want to be, like, optimist, like, from a Texans point of view where you have this high level of optimism, to me it's more that Tampa Bay could be in the fray as opposed to Tampa Bay making a realistic offer for Deshaun Watson because they have a late first-rounder. And if you think if they're acquiring Deshaun Watson, that any future first-rounders they trade you are more than likely going to be in the back end of the first round for however many years Deshaun Watson's there. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Rockets played a competitive game last night against the Warriors. They fell apart a little bit down the stretch, lost the game to Golden State. Steph Curry went off. Is it time to concern about the development of Jalen Green? That's next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Before we go to the break, I want to tell you about Frankie's Italian Kitchen TX.com. That's right, best Italian food in and around the city. And it isn't even close. And the reason why is Chris Smith's not only the owner, he's the chef. And he makes everything from scratch. He makes it fresh. He makes it filling. The portions are big. The prices are low. And the family atmosphere is unbelievable. Check it out today, because if you're in the Richmond, Katy, Sugarland area, it's right in your wheelhouse. And if it's not, and you got to drive a little bit, the food and the atmosphere is worth the price to drive a little bit more. Check them out today, Frankie's Italian Kitchen, TX.com. And the reason why I'm suggesting that, too, is not only will you see the full menu, but you'll see the weekly specials. They're only there till the ingredients run out. But while they're there, you are going to get something that's off the beaten path from the regular menu that is still authentic Italian great food. It is fantastic. I've tried just about everything on the menu. I tell you, from the wings and the pizza all the way through the lasagna and the beef stroganoff and all the different dishes, Chris knows what he's doing, and he takes pride in doing it for you on a daily basis. Tell him I sent you by. This weekend, Chris texted me and said there were plenty of tables with Killer Bees that had heard about me talking about them and were there to try it for themselves, and they loved what they got. They're going to be back for more. You can be the next in line. Check them out today. It's Frankie's Italian Kitchen, TX.com.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. All teams covered. No talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Steph wins the tap. He quick jumped him. Curry relocate three. Got it! He's got 38, and half of them are here in the fourth.
Yes, Steph Curry went off yesterday in the fourth quarter.
I believe that was Bobby Fitzgerald from NBC Bay Area.
You're right.
Bobby Fitz is a great dude.
21 points in the fourth quarter.
21 in the fourth.
Of his 40 points.
We get career to the high.
Career high in the fourth?
In the fourth.
Okay,
yep.
I think 40 was.
Yep.
He torched the Rockets. We'll get into that in just a second. Did you see RIP Wordle, Rest in Peace Wordle, was trending on Twitter yesterday?
I did see. I saw you put it on the rundown, too.
Yeah.
But I was hoping it was true.
Why? Why would you hope that it's true?
Because it's just everybody has.
What's
Tyler started
to?
Everybody has to tweet it. Everybody has to, like, compete it. There was some chick that's like a
today.
Double PhD that does. But she says, but in order to get her day started, yeah. It can't be coffee. It has to be Wordle. Stupid.
I wake up with Wordle now, too.
Did you try? So I did for a little bit, but it's not my kind of game. Joel, did you ever try it?
No.
I'm at 17 in a row.
You got to try it before it possibly disappears.
Which like NASCAR?
We don't know it's going to.
As a sports fan, they always say don't hate it till you've at least been to one race.
I'm
good.
17 straight days where I've gotten it right. Not that that's some like amazing achievement.
What you're bragging about.
Although I do know some people who have not gotten it right every single day.
Tyler's
I got
back.
It right in three guesses today.
Guesses?
No, but New York Times bought Wordle. For a seven-figure sum. Like, the dude that created Wordle was just like a little hobby that he created for a friend to, like, kill time or something like that. And he sold it to the New York Times for seven figures.
Good for him.
Like, he's making millions off of this stupid
awesome.
Game that you guess five-letter words. Like, it's awesome. But New York Times bought it. You know that the New York Times is behind a paywall. So a lot of people are assuming that at some point mm-hmm. that New York Times is going to put it behind a paywall or throw tons of sponsors on it.
Make they that did, money back.
They did say in their release, though, that they were going to keep it free. For now. So hopefully Wordle is not going away. I wouldn't pay for it, by the way. Like a lot of people are asking that question, like, would you get a 99-cent subscription for New York Times? I wouldn't. Absolutely not. Even if it's only 99 cents, I would not do that.
To play
and Tyler
hand.
Heard me bashing on him, and Tyler texted me, excuse me, I'm on a 19-day winning streak.
Has he ever lost?
Jeremy's up to a 21, so you're down two.
I'm only at 17.
Oh, don't tell him that.
But I've only done it for 17 days, so I'm batting 1,000.
But you're undefeated.
I'm undefeated.
Yeah,
take that,
Tyler.
I came close yesterday, though.
Go back in your office.
I got it right in six guesses yesterday. That was frustrating.
I missed the day it was null and never looked back. I never played it after that.
That's terrible news. 713-780.
And because I won't try Wordle, Jeremy Montgomery on text decides to tell me, confirm Joel hates when people have fun. No, but there's
other. It's true.
It's different strokes for different folks. You can have fun a different way, Jeremy.
I'm not so
not
sure.
Not Jeremy Branham. But
I'm
it sounds
so sure.
like you guys should go have steak when Cody doesn't want to go.
I'm not so sure he's wrong. I'm not going to say that you hate when people have fun, but I'm not going to say you necessarily love it.
I love that Brendan was having a whole lot of fun with his quarterback winning last weekend, and I made sure everybody knew that.
That's a good point. That's
Thank
a good
you.
Point.
Thank
you did
you.
Do
Carry
that.
On.
You did do that. You
yep.
Trump card
Take that,
there.
Jeremy.
Trump card there. So Warriors over the Rockets yesterday, 122-108. How about Kevin Porter Jr. throwing
Let's
a little bit
it.
Of trash at Steph Curry? Here was Steph Curry, by the way, talking about the trash that Kevin Porter Jr. was giving him and how much he just kind of let it go through one ear and out the other.
Nice game within the game. It's not the first, not going to be the last time. You always try to bring another level of you always have it, but you definitely bring another level of competitiveness when fun stuff like that happens in the game. I take it all as entertainment, and sometimes you need a little boost, so I never really play into it much. Obviously I ain't saying nothing back, so just hoop and have fun with it.
I never realized how choppy Steph Curry is with his sentences.
Not always, but I mean,
he was in a weird mood.
But literally, like, well, because he was put in a weird place, right? And he let his game do the talking.
Yeah,
it's like the old "Don't poke the bear, let a sleeping dog lie." Because why, especially when you're not there yet, KPJ, and we're still trying to figure out if you're ever going to get there completely. Are you going to take the greatest shooter of all time, one of the best players in our game, and a former MVP in a rivalry that used to be really, really strong and really, really hated as Rockets fans, and get a guy going who has been through going through one of the worst shooting slumps of his career and started out missing his first couple threes, only to see him just absolutely make a towering inferno of the fourth quarter and make it his own private Idaho until he drove a stake through your heart yet again in Toyota Center for the win. You don't do that. And then, on top of it, if you're going to do that, own up to it, because he did hit a big three in the fourth where he was, again, talking to Steph down the court.
Yeah.
But then after you lose, you want to go up to him and ask for advice. Like, if you're Steph, good on him for actually talking to him. But if you're Steph, you're like, bro, you were just saying all kinds of things towards me, and I just made you look silly, and now you want advice?
I kind of like the fire. I'll be honest.
You're a drama guy.
I am. And the Rockets right now, I mean, they're 14-36. Like, yeah, give me the drama. Give me Kevin Porter Jr. talking a little trash. I like the competitiveness we saw from the Rockets yesterday, to be honest. I feel like if they played with that consistency a little bit more, they'd have more than 14 wins.
I almost put money down last night because Golden State was giving 10.
Yeah.
And then I would have won. And I would have won, but I was watching it late going, this is one of those backdoor covers where the Rockets get a couple of late threes and I end up taking it in the shorts. And so I stayed away from it. But then when I looked at it, I was like, God, if I'd have known he was going to fire Steph up, I mean, geez.
How about Jalen Green? This is the conversation
Let's
that I feel a lot of people are hesitant to have but needs to be had. Because, look, he's still a growing rookie. He still has a promising future. Last night, 10 points, 2 of 9 shooting, was 0 of 2 from behind the three-point line. He's shooting less than 29% from 3 on the season, averaging 14 points per game. I mean, he's played 35 games now. The Houston Rockets at this point have played 50 games on the season. I mean, you're two-thirds of the way through a rookie year. What are you thinking of the number 2 pick of the NBA draft?
He's got a lot of work to do, and I think that he might not have the right people to do the work with him. Because I'm not going to put it all on him, and I'm not going to sit there and tell you that he's not going to have a good or great career and that there's not a ton of possibilities for this kid. But based on 50 games in, where he's at and what he's still doing, I got real questions about Steven Silas and his staff. I've got questions about a guy that is just allowed to run out there and do whatever he wants, continue to still do the one-on-two step-back threes, take the ill-advised shots, not work the ball to the open man, not do the things that we were hoping he was going to see that he needed to do when he was out for an extended period of time. And I give you plenty of examples of why this is frustrating. Kobe, when he was with the Lakers the first year, he struggled. But you know what? He struggled within a structure because he had Phil Jackson. And they were able to keep him playing offense and defense and understanding the team concept while he kind of worked his way through it shooting. Luka Doncic, who was working with Steven Silas offensively, but was playing under Rick Carlisle, who was not going to let a guy just start free-stroking on step-back threes and force one-on-twos in the lane on a fast break. And do some of the things I saw again last night from Jalen Green, because he was going to try and win games with his team. And this is what I'm not seeing from the Rockets. It's across the board. It's like we talk about with Penny Hardaway's Memphis Tigers or Calipari's Kentucky Wildcats. A lot of times it feels like the system is just throw the ball out there and just get up and down the court as fast as you can and take your chances. That's not going to make Jalen Green better. Kobe will tell you after that first year when he airballed a big game-winning shot opportunity against Utah in the playoffs that what made him better was Phil Jackson and Shaq and veterans and coaches saying you can't do it all yourself and you can't even think about trying yet. You got to play within the system, learn the triangle, do the things that made you a great player.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that Silas is going to be the future coach of Jalen Green. The question to me is more when, not if, right? Like, does it happen at the end of this season? Does it happen at the end of next season? I don't see him being the head coach for a majority of Jalen Green's career. Now, this is a lot different having an honest conversation about where Jalen Green is as the number 2 pick of the 2021 draft. Like, I see a lot of these people saying, oh, Evan Mobley, the Rockets missed. They should have drafted Evan Mobley over Jalen Green.
No.
It's way too early for that conversation. It might get to that point someday, but when you draft a rookie, you're looking at a 4-year window. So if you want to have that conversation, you should evaluate it after 4 seasons. Now, if you're halfway through that window and Evan Mobley's clearly the better player than Jalen Green, then you can probably start having the conversation as well. But 50 games into a rookie year, a 19-year-old kid, I'm not ready to have that conversation yet. But in terms of the development of Jalen Green and areas that he needs to improve, there's a lot of areas he needs to improve. His shot selection's not something that I necessarily love. I still feel like he's going to be okay getting to the rim, but his ability to attack needs to improve, and he has to get better finishing around the rim too.
Well, not only that, and everything that I've said about the fact that he needs to get easy buckets when his shooting percentage is going through the floor,
yep.
But the other thing is, is that it's not a big man. It's not a big man's game anymore. When you say you should have taken Mobley, the high side of Mobley, the very highest of high sides, is Chris Bosh. And Chris Bosh was an all-star, okay, but he wasn't a guy that puts a team on his back. He wasn't a dominant force. The game is more predicated towards a wing player, a scorer, a guard, and that's what Green is. And Green's upside, if you talk to anybody that's analyzed him, is Kobe Bryant. If you want the next Kobe Bryant, you got the right guy to take a shot on, whether he gets all the way to that or not. But we always talk about what's the window, where is he, what's the high side, what's the low side. If the high side is not Chris Bosh, it's more along the lines of Kobe, and he's only 19. You got something you can really take a shot on. It's not a big man's game. Plus, you have some other big man on your roster already too. You didn't know you were going to get Şengün, but you had your eye on him. Now that you're at where you're at, don't look back and start regretting the pick, but develop the pick you made so that he has every opportunity to succeed.
You got to go all in with the pick, right? It's almost like when the Rockets hired D'Antoni. We're like, you're going all in with the gimmick. You're going all in with the three-pointers, the free throw line at the rim. Like, that's what you were doing. You're trying to strengthen a strength, and that's probably what Jalen Green needs as a head coach and a coaching staff. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Well, the Texans have their finalists. Let's pick a show consensus when we return. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey, Lance Zierlein here. If you've ever wanted to turn your house into a home, now is the time. Texas Custom Patios can help do it. They did that for me. They took an outdoor living space that I frankly couldn't see in my dreary backyard and turned it into an oasis. The work that they do is incredible. Make sure that you check out my backyard before and after at tcplance.com. That's tcplance.com. The work is incredible, and it adds value and livability to your home. Once again, go to tcplance.com. Maestro Dobel. If you enjoy tequila, this is the name to know. I'm drinking the Añejo right now, and this is what I love about Maestro Dobel. It's the variety of excellent tequilas they've created, all with different flavor profiles. The Silver, Reposado, the Añejo, Diamante, and Humido all show off Maestro Dobel's mastery of the art of tequila making, so you get a variety of complex aromas, flavors, and finishes. You're going to truly love making your cocktails with Maestro Dobel. Find Maestro Dobel anywhere liquor is sold. Maestro Dobel.
Hey, everybody, John Granato here with Dr. Kane Linville from Hair Specialist Houston. What kind of results are you getting?
Absolutely fantastic results. The best part about NeoGraft is it gives you the most natural result. There's a lot of the human element by putting the hairs in, so about a 95 to 99% take rate. And the way we put the hairs in, you get a very natural result that looks natural, not like doll hair, not like plugs.
You want hair? I wanted hair. I've got hair. 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
February 4th through the 6th, it's the 2022 Houston Safari Club Foundation Worldwide Hunting Expo and Convention at the George R. Brown Convention Center, Hall A. Meet hunting and fishing outfitters from around the world, outdoor gear, taxidermy, hunting property, and more. Banquets, live entertainment, raffles, and auctions. Tickets only $10 at the door. Free for children 12 and under and active military with ID. Go to WeHuntWeGive.org. Presented by Gunworks, 4Lo, Bass Pro Shops, Cabela's, Capital Farm Credit, Enterprise Products, and Wildlife Partners.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Texans have their finalists, their final four. They announced on Twitter, we have completed discussions with Jonathan Gannon, Brian Flores, and Josh McCown regarding our head coaching position. Wording on that was kind of weird. We might get into that in a little bit. They also announced that they completed an interview with Kevin O'Connell, the Rams offensive coordinator. Yeah, why do you think the finalist is a question? Why do you think that's up in the air?
Because normally it gets down to a team actually telling you these are our finalists. Or this is who we're going between. And in most cases, they do. They say, we've narrowed it down to our finalists. Because then you don't have to answer any more questions, or they don't have to answer any more questions. If you're, say, for instance, a Hines Ward or somebody else, or Vince Lombardi's grandson, you don't have to do that anymore because you know you're out there in, and now it's trying to just getting down to brass tacks of which guy you like the best. But they, because we do have Wordle people here that like to break down the words.
You're obsessed with Wordle. You're more obsessed with Wordle than me. We don't even play.
I get it, but I'm just saying it was a topic on the show, so I like to keep it kind of consistent. But you know what? And Brendan is our guy, too, that you know he can get a little bit too in-depth sometimes down that rabbit hole you dig for him and find out that, hey, maybe the wording was a little bit peculiar, or maybe it told you a little bit more than you thought. But at the same time, I kind of was disappointed. I'd be disappointed if that was the finalists. Like, I question whether they went down their own rabbit hole deep enough. Did they explore enough candidates? Did they try and talk to enough people? Because, you know, you look at, like, the Doug Peterson situation, right? He's interviewing for the second time, but he's already bashed the way it's set up in Jacksonville.
It's hilarious.
Yet he's going back. So what would you get hurt? And I know how much image means to the Texans, but what would it hurt you to try and at least get him in and talk to him and say, at least we're not Jacksonville. Maybe you'd like it better here. And just see, kick the tires. I don't think they kicked the tires on enough candidates in my mind. But I'll also say that the candidates they got, they're somewhat, I'd be okay with the majority of them.
This has been a lot more concise of a coaching carousel than it was, or not coaching carousel, of a hiring process for the Houston Texans than it was last year. When last year, what was it? It was over 10 candidates that interviewed for the job. This year, it was 6. Brian Flores, Joe Lombardi, Vince Lombardi's grandson, Hines Ward, Kevin O'Connell, Josh McCown, Jonathan Gannon. You have 6 candidates. So it's a much tighter list. It's more concise. So it tells you the Texans had a plan on what they wanted to do. Now, you might disagree with the plan. You might say that the candidates they have is not a very good list of potential coaches that were out there. Doug Peterson, a Byron Leftwich, a D'Amico Ryans. Now, I think it's pretty clear what the Houston Texans are looking for. They're looking for a guy that Nick Caserio can control that is a subordinate as opposed to an equal. So I think, for me, I'd be shocked. I'd be willing to bet anything that the next head coach of the Houston Texans hire is one of these 4 guys. Jonathan Gannon, Brian Flores, Josh McCown, and Kevin O'Connell. Now, you might not like the list. You might not think the list is good. And look, you could be accurate in saying that. Is it as good of a list as Minnesota's? Is it as good as a list of Jacksonville's? And I think you can have that debate. And I think most people would look at this job as the worst, and they would look at the list of the candidates as probably the worst. But if we're assuming that these are the 4 finalists for the job, who is your guy? I'm pretty sure I know who your guy is already, Joel.
Yeah, it is. It's Brian Flores. But I said, look, I'm not going to die on that hill. I just say if I'm going to take a favorite that I like the most for a variety of reasons, it's the head coaching experience, but you still get a Patriots way guy that played and coached under Belichick. But you also get a guy that I like the pushback factor. I like the fact that he's not going to be pushed around. I like that in his last stop in Miami, it wasn't Chris Greer calling all the shots and him just being a puppet like we saw with Cully. That seemingly is what Nick wants to do. It is a decision by committee guy in which his voice is going to be as loud as the general manager, and he's not going to be pushed around if the general manager tries to do some things that he doesn't like, unlike a David Culley. Those are the main reasons why I like him more than the other candidates, because what he brings to the table seems to be both positively, and if you're Nick, and maybe even negatively because you don't want a pushback guy, but you're getting a guy that from the fans to football people would respect in the locker room, on the field, and with decisions that are made, as opposed to what we're seeing already in which every decision made, we're like, what are they doing?
See, his pushback, though, it's interesting because his pushback to Greer is what ultimately got him fired, right? Like, he was a difficult guy to work with. He went through tons of OCs, tons of offensive line coaches. But the fact
he didn't want Tua either.
Yeah, and the fact that he was an equal and he was difficult to work with is why he ultimately got fired after 3 seasons when no one saw that coming. You bring up the Patriot way, and we talked about this a lot on this show. I think we discovered it to the rest of the city, that Nick Caserio has interviewed 15 different candidates in 13 months. 0 have been current Patriot assistants. Mm-hmm. Now, Flores is the only one who has been a Patriot assistant in the past, but not current, obviously. Are you okay with the Patriot way?
If there's a level of separation, right, Kevin Bacon? Like, there's 1 degree minimum separation. Like, he's not coming directly from from New England. And also, like you said, because there probably is some kind of a handshake or otherwise agreement with Belichick.
Something's up.
You got a guy that has Patriot background, but you don't have a guy that's coming from the Patriots. So it would be as if Daryl Morey did the same thing with, say, Gerson Rosas. So Gerson waited a year or had a coach or someone that went to another team for a year and then said, now come coach for me. I like that, too, because he's not unfamiliar with Nick and Jack and what they did in New England and what they're trying to do here as it relates to New England-type tendencies. But he also, like I said, he's his own thinking man's man that he can make his own decisions as well.
All right, so you got Brian Flores. Brendan, who is your guy of the 4 finalists? We're assuming they're the finalists. Pretty confident saying that. Who's the guy that you want to be the next head coach of the Houston Texans?
So I want to start here with, I think there's one, for me, one clear outlier who I have no interest in Josh McCown. And I think the other 3 are kind of all in the same area. I don't hate any of them. They don't excite me. I've already said this. I know McVay's tree has been good so far early on. I don't love an offensive coordinator under McVay, so it's not the route I want. Flores is interesting to me mostly because of the pushback. I like that aspect. But I also don't love retread head coaches, generally speaking. And kind of processes of elimination. Honestly, my answer is I don't love any of them, but I think Gannon is my guy of the three. I want to ask you guys this because I wasn't here at the time, so I didn't hear this all. But I was told by somebody who used to live down here and cover the Texans that people kind of wanted Vrabel out of here at the time, right?
I wouldn't say they were calling for his head because he was a one-year defensive coordinator. Like, he had been a defensive assistant and worked his way up under Romeo, and then they moved Romeo from defensive coordinator to like an assistant head coach to make way for Mike Vrabel, to keep Mike Vrabel. And they had tons of injuries in the 1 year as a DC, and they finished somewhere like in 20th in terms of total defense. So, like, they weren't happy with Vrabel. They were happy that he left and shocked that he got the Tennessee Titan head coaching job. But I don't know if they're necessarily, like, calling for his head after 1 year.
Fair enough. I brought it up because I was under the impression people didn't really want him here.
Yeah,
and
that's fair.
I know Eagles fans want Gannon out. And I think that can be a little bit of an overreaction. I don't think the team is all that good. I like what we were told by Billy Devaney about him. I don't care necessarily. While I don't like McCown, it's not because he's raw. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with the guy who has the upside that isn't there yet.
What don't you? Yeah. What don't you like about McCown? Because that's his number one criticism.
It's all about the Easterby tie. It's all about the fact that if it's McCown, I have no reason to believe Easterby is not making high-end decisions in this organization. Honestly, the other three I'm going to be okay with, not love, but Gannon's the pick of the three.
I feel that way about McCown as well. Like, I could overlook the lack of resume. I could overlook the fact that he's never been a coach in the NFL at any single level. The Easterby factor is the big cloud that's over the name Josh McCown to me, more than the experience. I can live with the experience as well, but the Easterby factor is frightening.
If we didn't have to live through a year of David Culley, I might be more okay with Josh McCown.
Yeah.
But they're the two factors. It's the Jack factor, and it's the fact that having seen the mistakes that were just, if we could call out how bad a mistake it was that we wouldn't have made them, and yet he didn't see through to not make them, and then how much of a puppet he was, and some of the blatant things when he was leaving about, I didn't get the data, I didn't understand it was going to be this tough day to day and all that stuff. Like, that's why I'm kind of, Josh McCown on the staff to me is fine. Josh McCown, that's exactly what I wanted last year instead of, and I get it, the family thing, he wanted to do family thing instead. But this year, the ultimate thing for him is somewhere on the staff. Let him be on the staff as a quarterback coach and learn from someone that's calling the plays. Or let him, I don't think he's in a position to be a coordinator yet, because I want him to learn all of the play calling there too.
I'd rather him be a head coach than a coordinator. I'd rather him be a head coach than calling the
plays
of an offense.
And not call the plays as the head coach, right?
Right. Okay. Yes, yeah. A non-play calling head coach. Because to me, taking over for the experience that he does not have, that never has been an assistant his entire life in the NFL, I think he's better suited to be a non-play calling head coach in year one than a play calling OC in year one.
It's a give and take for me, right? You give all you've learned playing quarterback in the league to your quarterbacks, especially a young quarterback like Davis Mills, so that you're actually helping, and then you get the chance to absolutely learn everything about how to head coach, how to be a coordinator, be in all those meetings, be in all the coaching aspect things, so you can get your feet wet, so that maybe in a couple of years you could be a head coach.
You got Flores, Brendan has Gannon. I have Kevin O'Connell as the guy that I want to be the next head coach of the Houston Texans. I love the fact that he's on the Sean McVay coaching tree, and a Sean McVay coaching tree dude has gotten to the Super Bowl before a Bill Belichick coaching tree dude has gotten to the Super Bowl in Zach Taylor. Zach Taylor is actually the quarterback's coach with the Rams, never called plays for L.A., but then you look at the coaches who are also under him. Matt LaFleur, who was an OC, then went to Tennessee to call plays under Vrabel, and now is the head coach of Green Bay, doing really good things. Brandon Staley, who's with the Chargers, who's like this cutting-edge, like, young genius, although he didn't have a great end to his season and had a little bit of mud on his face at the end of the year. I like the McVay tree. Also like the Kevin O'Connell factor in the sense that he has been around the Rams, who are a successful team. He's very instrumental in the game plan management going into the week, weeks, even though he's not calling plays on game day. McVay's given him tons of credit for how much like respect he garners in that offensive room and how much work he does in terms of the gameplay, getting ready for Sundays. And I also like the fact that he's been around some different places. Like, it hasn't always been McVay. Like, he was drafted by Nick Caserio in the third round in the first year that Nick Caserio was director of player personnel. So he was around Belichick for a season. He got to experience different playbooks. So that's why Kevin O'Connell's my favorite. If I'm eliminating one guy, like, I don't believe Brian Flores is an authentic candidate, to be honest with you, because he's the one guy, to your credit, who wouldn't be the dude that's going to accept everything Caserio wants to do, whereas O'Connell, Gannon, and McCown would.
But, and not that I disagree with you, but that's what would chap my ass the most, right? Because how many times do we say, especially when you're in a leadership role within any business, you want to get someone in there that has strengths where you have weaknesses, right? Not a guy that's going to be a yes man, a guy that's going to be willing to push back to me when I make a decision to say, hey, wait, before you do that, think about this, and I believe it should be done that way. That's the reason that would really chap my ass, like we say with McCown and Jack. The reason why if he goes away from Flores is because he doesn't want a guy that's going to push back, then I'm going to push at Nick.
See, it's a prediction of mine, not necessarily the desire of mine, because I agree with you. Like, the head coach should be in a position where he's an equal with the general manager. If you were going to hire that guy, for me, it wouldn't be a Brian Flores. It'd be more of a Leftwich, a D'Amico Ryans, or a Doug Peterson. That's why I look like the one dude that doesn't relate to the other three is Flores, because the rest of the three would be subordinates to Nick Caserio. So I have O'Connell, Joel has Flores, Brendan has Gannon. Killer Bees, what do you think? 713-780-ESPN. Who is the show consensus favorite to be the head coach of the Texans? 713-780-3776. We'll also have a Twitter poll out on it as well at ESPN 97.5. Coming up next, look like you had something to say.
Yeah, I was just going to say before we get off that topic, did you see also that D'Amico Ryans pulled his name from his interview, his second interview with Minnesota, being a finalist? He doesn't want the job.
Let's discuss that when we get back. Also, when we return, you got to be bold if you want to win big. I'll explain next to Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Right, for now, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about New Breaks. I love the people at New Breaks because I personally experienced them coming to me to do what they do, and they did it better than anybody else. They did it while I was on the show doing it here at the studio. They were in the parking garage. It took less than 45 minutes. They did a fantastic job. And it's what the way that everybody's going when fixing their brakes. It used to be you had to go to the waiting room. You had to be at the mercy of a mechanic. You had to wait hours before your car was done. Not anymore. You can be at work, having meetings, checking emails. You could be at home, drinking a beer, or cutting the lawn, or watching a game. They're fixing your brakes. They use the same brake parts as everybody else. They have the same competitive prices as everybody else. And they have certified technicians that only do brakes, so they're not going to upsell you on anything else. They're just going to come in to do what they do. And they're going to do it better than anybody else and be on their way to the next job. It saves time, which is saving money. Check them out today. Go to nubrakes.com. Mention ESPN 97.5, save 10%. More than that, save time, which is saving money. As you make the appointment, they come to you and they do it better than anybody else. They do what they do. They are great people and they have done a great job. And they are now like trying to get even more technicians hired because everybody is listening to me and others talk about New Breaks as the new way to get your brakes done. Be the next in line to get it done the right way this time. With New Breaks.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.